evening, I had a church I was to be at, and yesterday at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the pastor of that church called me and canceled me at the last second. He said everybody in his church had come down with some form of flu, cold, or COVID. He didn't know which, but all his family was ill, so he thought it was best just to cancel. He says, is that okay with you? Well, he's the pastor, so it had to be. So all of a sudden, I was thinking, oh my goodness, I don't have a Sunday morning service. And I have now gone 6 straight years without missing a Sunday morning and Sunday night in churches all over a 6-state area. And except in April of 2020, when I think just about everybody took a week or two off trying to figure out what to do when the pandemic first hit. I was actually down for 3 weeks, and I started up the first Sunday again in May and haven't missed a beat since then. But Sunday nights are really important, because anybody who travels, they need 2 services a week. Anybody know why? 2 love offerings. That's just the cold business of it. You just can't make it on one Sunday service. It's just not going to work. And a lot of men who travel, especially evangelists, are really have been put at great disadvantage, and they're ill at ease trying to keep their ministries going. So if they were getting 40 to 45 meetings a year, that may have been cut in half. I don't know, Brother Edmund, how's he doing? Gary? I didn't know. I did not know. I am sorry for not knowing that. I didn't. Oh my goodness. Well, bless him. He's doing better than the rest of us. But I knew that sometime back he was having trouble with keeping meetings consistently. Anyway, boy, I put my foot in my mouth on that one, didn't I? Anyway, it's good to be here tonight. And I have to admit, you're one of the few churches that still have 7 o'clock services, preacher. So that makes the afternoons awful long waiting. But I am able to watch the Cleveland Browns lose as many as they win, so that kind of keeps my Sunday afternoon kind of lively. I am from Cleveland, the holy city, right? Go Cleveland here? No, no, yes, yes, yes. Yes, some of you, wow, you got a good representation. Everywhere I go, I meet people from Ohio, but not always people from Cleveland, so it is a blessing. Going back to my story, I was canceled, and so I didn't know what to do. So there are some churches who tell me, at the last second, if you need somewhere, call us, and if we don't have anybody in, we'll have you in. So I called a church up north and in the state, and they said, yes, come on in. So we were able to be up there, and then came down 77 to be with you tonight. And so thank you again. And I've been traveling for the Fellowship Track League now for 12 years. I can hardly believe it. I just could not. I pastored Central Baptist, the second oldest Baptist congregation in Central Ohio, in the Columbus area, and it came in existence in 1865. We ended up having 3 different locations for that congregation, and I pastored all those years, and I met Wash Pennington in 1979 when I took that church. I stayed 30 years there, and we started supporting the Fellowship Track League that year, so almost the entire 30 years I was at Central Baptist Church, we supported the Fellowship Track League. And when I stepped down from the church, I had no idea where God wanted me to go. I thought I'd be pastoring again, just somewhere else. And so it worked out I was going to stay with the Track League for a year, and 1 year has now stayed into 12. And I really am the most unlikely candidate to be traveling for this ministry, because I disdain traveling. I just don't like it. All the hours behind the steering wheel, 40,000 miles a year on my car, and of course, the roads are not nice to cars, are they, when you travel like that? And I just don't like it. And someone says, well, if you don't like it, why do you keep traveling? Well, the last time I checked, I am a servant of the king. And the king tells his servants what to do. We just bow the knee and then gladly do it. And so that's what I've been doing. Every once in a while, I get an itch to pastor again, though I must admit that. And when we stepped down from our church in 2009, my wife and my 5 children were not happy with Dad at all. That was their life for 30 years. So every once in a while, I'll see a good church looking for a pastor, and I'll run it by my wife, and her pat answer now is, absolutely not. She says, I love just being a church member. Instead of being the preacher's wife, the go-to person for everything. And all my kids live there in Columbus, and their spouses and 16 grandkids. So if I ever do pastor, it would have to be in Columbus, I guess, preacher, or I'm out of luck. So anyway, 1 year's turned into 12. I love going to churches, though. I do love that part. By the way, anybody like to travel? We had to switch jobs. That'd be okay. I'll stay here and you get on the road. 1 year's turned into 12, and I enjoy meeting new pastors and churches. I love going back to the same churches that we've developed relationships with. My idea when I first started was just to do Ohio, living in Columbus. Anywhere's pretty close in Ohio. I thought, well, I can do that. And I was just going to do it for a year. And then Bill Burrow says, Brother Lapish, we need you to take a second state. And I thought, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to take another state. Ohio's, that's enough traveling. And so I'm kind of debating this, it kind of in like a nanosecond. But I didn't want to get fired 5 seconds after I got hired. So I said, all right, Brother Bill, what's the other state you want me to do? He says, Indiana. And I went geography. It's long and narrow. From downtown Columbus to downtown Indy is about 2 hours and 45 minutes. I thought, well, I guess I could do that. You want to know how many times I've been to Indiana in churches in 12 years? Maybe 5 times. So I haven't been a very good rep to Indiana. And then when I got hired in, he kept talking. I said, I wonder why he's still talking to me. He said, Brother Lapish, I hate to do this to you, but I must have you take a third state. Now I'm ready to be fired. I'm just not going to do that. And I'm going, I said, I can't do Indiana barely. And I'm talking to myself. And I said, I'm just not going to do it. And God said, what? You're not going to do what I want you to do? So I had to repent of that. And I said, what's the third state? Well, he knew I went to Ohio State. He didn't want to tell me that third state. Anybody want to guess? Oh, the bad words you say in this church. Well, kind of didn't end too good for the Buckeyes this year, we thought. But after the bowl games, you know, there was a song years ago, I won't tell you what genre of music it was, but the title was, Look Who's Crying Now. So we Buckeyes are happy, and that state up north, that school up there, they are the unhappy ones, and we're looking good going into next year. So I have really a blast with what I do. It's just an odd ministry for someone to stay that long, and typically the reps don't do that. When I joined, there were 5 reps within the first year. Excuse me, there were 5 other reps, and within the first year, they all quit and went back to pastoring. Preacher, they thought it was a more secure ministry. And I guess to some degree that was. Traveling for them is an honor, though. It is a great, great ministry. It is the preacher, you may have a different idea. No one's told me different yet, and I've been saying this for a while. I think the Fellowship Track League ministry is the largest ministry in the history of the world. Do you know when we passed that 5 billion mark? What a milestone to have printed that many tracts and to have given them away absolutely free of charge, including the shipping. How can that be? And to have 2 million hits a month on our website, fellowshiptrackleague.org, how is that possible? And every time I tell that, I invariably go back and I call whoever answers the phone and they'll put Pastor Bill on and I'll say, is that really true? 2 million hits a month, he'll say, Brother Lapish, for the umpteenth time, yes, it is true. I said, I can hardly believe that. And if you're a business person and you have 2 million hits a month, you have to be really rich. I mean, all those people who would call after looking at your website. So it is a monstrous ministry that nobody really knows a lot about. My dad, World War II vet, Philippines, never would tell me about the war. Dad was a big guy, 6'3", 250. That picture of Mr. Clean on the bottle, that's what my dad looks like, bald, except my dad never had a smile. Even when he would smile, you would fall to your knees. Dad, what do I do? Please, no spankings. I mean, he was just a grim man. He was the life of the party from time to time. And, of course, we grew up in the military atmosphere. Did you ever go in the military, Brother Lapish? I almost went in as a chaplain in Rickenbacker. We were all signed up, ready to go. Then they said, you're going to be moving every 3 years. I says, I can't do that. I don't want to move every 3 years. It was the Air Force. And they said, well, you have to if you come in. You just need to be aware of that. I would not sign the paper. Boy, were they mad at me. They were really mad. I said, I can't do that. Within a week, I think it was, I took the church downtown, and we stayed all 30 years, and it was the best thing. We started the Christian school. We had buses running everywhere. And as I was telling your pastor, I got in on the golden era of the independent Baptist movement, where everybody's church was full. People were being saved every service. You were baptizing every week, it seemed. And my, was God moving in the independent Baptist movement. But the track league, I had no idea how large that was, even though I knew all about it. And so here's how big it is. You know, there's all kind of Baptists, aren't there? There's Southern Baptists, Independent Baptists, GRBC Baptists, Free Will Baptists, Enterprise Baptists, Black Baptists, Missionary Baptists, American Baptists, and I think it's well over 150 different kinds of Baptists. But the largest is the Southern Baptists. I think they have about 50,000 churches worldwide. Independent Baptists are second with about 15,000. I didn't know we were that many, preacher. But the Southern Baptists say if they reach 20 people for Christ a year, and that is not happening. Many Southern Baptist churches haven't baptized anybody in years. In years. So being generous to them, I like numbers. So 20 times 50,000 is what? That's 1 million people they have reached. And they've been around for 200 years, so 200 times 1 million, Southern Baptists have reached over 200 million people. Isn't that amazing? What a wonderful ministry they've been involved in. But the Fellowship Track League has reached 5 billion. It's not even close. That's like 25 times more. That Fellowship Track League, we've printed enough tracks to reach 5 of every 8 people that you see anywhere in the world. Anywhere. You can go, you can take an airplane anywhere you want, and you, generally in the airport, you will see Fellowship Track League tracks that people have left. And wherever I go, the amusement places, like down to the Smoky Mountains, I'll see Fellowship Track League tracks everywhere, and they're always free, and the shipping's always paid. It's a miracle what God has done with this ministry. And everybody's involved, not just old people. Anybody feel like they're old tonight? I'm not raising my hand. Young people are involved too. I have a coin bank here. And I'm going to talk about this in a little bit and talk about how young people are involved. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Christ is speaking here. If you have red letter edition, I know every word of the Bible is God's word. I just like color coded for my brain. In verse 19 of chapter 6, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon what? The earth." Wow, a lot of Christians are missing that one by a country mile. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." I wish I could tell you about all the stories about the church I pastored for 24 of the 30 years. It was located in the inner city ghetto, 2 different completely areas. We were broken into repeatedly. Doors were ripped off the hinges while our Christian school was going on in the back of the church. We didn't even know it. People would break in with axes at our second location and take the axes and break through the drywall between the studs to get in the offices to steal. I mean, just a lot of that stuff. So I know what he's talking about there, thieves, verse 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures" where? In heaven. Wow, what a contrast. Don't lay up treasures upon earth, because a lot of bad things can happen to that money. "But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." So if you're a locksmith, guess what? When you get to heaven, you're out of a job. Why would we need a locksmith? Why would we need locks? Why would we need keys? For what purpose? Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Be very careful here that we read this correctly. Sometimes people like to interpose some words here, switch some words around. But Jesus did not say, "For where your heart is, there will your treasure be also." He didn't say that. It kind of cuts against the grain of our human thinking. "But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, if we're not careful, men, we'll find ourselves sitting on our treasure. And ladies, if we're not careful, our treasure will be slung over our shoulder called a purse. I don't know why ladies like purses like they do. We had to take something back to Penny's, and they're in Columbus at Tuttle Mall, if you're familiar with that. And there's like two main entrances, and I wanted to take my wife there. She wanted me to go with her, so I was a good husband. I took her to Penny's to return something, but I had to go in the right entrance where the purses were not located. So I purposely went to the one, but I guessed wrong. We walked in to return the item, and there were all these purses. And I go, oh my goodness, I'm going to spend far more than we're going to get back for this return. And she had to touch every single purse. Men don't go shopping for wallets like that. Where is our treasure? You know what I thought about that? You know where my treasure is? My treasure, first of all, is my family. My wife, who's a born-again Christian. My five children who are born-again Christians. Their spouses who are born-again Christians. And 16 grandkids. And they're all either saved, ED, or the young ones at age 4. I got 3 at age 4 still, grandchildren. They're safe, S-A-F-E. If the Lord comes back, my immediate family will be together in heaven. My in-laws were saved. Both my dad and mom were saved. My brother and sisters were saved. Everybody saved. So I was thinking about that as a treasure. And we ought to be investing in getting people saved. Now let's think about this. Let's see. Get my notes correct here. How about Matthew? Let's make it Luke chapter 12. I'm going to try to keep myself really glued here on the time tonight to get everybody out in decent time. Luke chapter 12, in verse 16, and he, that's the Lord, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like Christians in America, because we have been so blessed. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I think that really describes a lot of Christians in America. A lot of churches. We are rich to ourselves, but we're not rich towards God. Because we want those treasures to consume by ourselves. Now, think with me a little bit further. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. In verse number 26. Christ speaking again here. Matthew 16, verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is a man? This is Christ speaking. And the people are listening. And I'm going to take that thought and let it resonate in your hearts tonight. And may the Holy Spirit of God really touch our hearts with that statement. I thought, wow, I wonder how much money there actually is in the world. And so I didn't know where to look up this fact. So I thought, I'll go to the most accurate, always correct site that can give me the information. It's called the Internet. So I went in there and I saw three or four what people and what websites had kind of added up. And we have hundreds, then thousands, then millions, then billions, then trillions. Who knows the next number after that? Go ahead, say it. Quadrillions. I mean, that is so much fun. I can't even understand billions, let alone trillions and then quadrillions. Somebody added up all just cash. All the cash of all the 150, 60, 70 countries in the world, however many of them might be. And they came up with that number, and several locations on the internet were very close. $1.2 quadrillion in the world. That doesn't count buildings, land, doesn't count the minerals under the ground, doesn't count the minerals at the bottom of the sea that we use in our chips for computers and cars, and doesn't really take into account water, because water is so precious around the world. The price of water is something. So just the cash. Jesus said, For what is a man profited if he shall gain $1.2 quadrillion and lose his own soul? So in the estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ, a soul is more valuable than $1.2 quadrillion, all the money in the world. Think about that. That's the value Christ puts on a soul. What's the price we put on a soul? The verse goes on, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, I don't know who the most horrendous person ever to have lived might be, but I think if we ask somebody to give the top five worst people in the history of the world, I think in each list somebody, they would probably include Hitler. But we won't use Hitler for the moment. I don't know who the worst person in the greater Cambridge area is, but maybe you're somebody serving time in prison because they committed the most heinous crimes imaginable, even up to death. And if that man would ask the Lord, Lord, what can I give in exchange for my soul? And if the Lord said to this congregation tonight, if all you people will sell everything you own, empty out your savings account, your checking account, your 401k, your Social Security, I mean everything you own, sell your home, sell your car, if you give all that money, maybe I'll let that man exchange your money for his soul in heaven. Would you give everything you had for that man? Romans says, for scarcely a righteous man would one die for. I don't think anybody here would do that. I don't think one person here tonight, including myself, would give everything they have to get that worst man into heaven, to exchange it. But Jesus did. Jesus did. He gave His life so the worst of the worst of the worst could have access to heaven. $1.2 quadrillion, giving everything you have. You see, that's the value Christ puts on a soul. So that brings me to the Fellowship Tract League. Started in 1978, it's now 44 years old, 5-point-something billion tracts around the world. It is clicking, lickety-split. They had two large printing presses. They've added the third that was given to them. They just paid off their addition for the building where they house all the tracts. That was an $800,000 loan to put up the building. It's now paid for completely within a matter of 3 or 4 years. And they are getting out more tracts than anybody can imagine. And now when missionaries find out, instead of wanting 1,000, they want to change their order to 100,000. If they were getting 100,000, they find out they get them free, now they want 1,000,000. And if they were getting 1,000,000, now they want 10 million, which is the maximum amount that we ship in a sea container, and they go all over the world. And especially in the third world countries, and most of the world seems to me like they're third world countries, before they got the tracts free, very discriminately they would hand out tracts in villages they'd go to people who were interested, because they'd have to pay for the tracts out of their own monthly support. And that gets pretty pricey when you add in the shipping on top of it. But now since they get them free, what they say is missionaries will be in the back of the pickup truck, and other missionaries are driving the pickup truck, and when they get to a certain village, they'll slow down to a couple miles an hour, and the village people storm them to see who they are. They'll grab armfuls of tracts and throw them into the air and let the wind blow them all over the property, and everybody in the village gets to pick up one, and the pickup truck slowly drives to the next village. And they reach so many more people that way, because they get the tracts in mass. Unbelievable. If, I don't know much of a downtown, but what's the two crossroads of your downtown here, Pastor? Oh, I put you on the spot, sorry. Okay, Cambridge and the cross street. Okay, the stop. Do you have a stoplight in town? There you go. Yeah. We'll say there. If someone threw out maybe $1,000 bills, do you think the traffic would stop and everybody would run and get them? They sure would. But you know those tracts those people are getting in third world countries? Those tracts are more valuable than a $100 bill because they have in the gospel that they can get saved and live in heaven forever just like you and I get to do. So, a year and a half ago, I got closed down from the pandemic. Pandemic opened back up. I started May 1st, 2020. Haven't missed a beat. But when I opened back up, I started to get this funny feeling. I said, Lord, how can I go in churches and ask churches and people for money? I don't know if their business got closed, being deemed non-essential. I don't know if someone got ill in church and maybe they passed away and they had a lot of bills to pay. I didn't know if the preachers were getting paid or not, if the church mortgage was getting paid or not. And I thought, Lord, how can I ask anybody for money? You see, that's what the track league signed me up for. You know, I get the great job of going to churches and asking for money. You think that's fun? You know, invariably, every Sunday or every Wednesday I drive to church, I say, I know, God, I know I'm going to ask for money, and I have to ask for money. Otherwise, why would I be traveling for the Fellowship Track League? You see, all those tracks that go out in free, all the shipping that is paid for, that money's got to come from somewhere. It's still not growing on trees, folks, is it? That's up to reps like myself to raise that money. So I go in with the purpose of raising money for the track league. Now, say if your pastor owned a nice car dealership and he hired me to sell cars. And he'll say, I'll give you a base salary. We'll just say $1,000 a month and pay you commission off every car you sell. After a year, if I hadn't sold one car, preacher, would you keep me on? What would you do? What a mean pastor you have. He'd fire me because I was hired to sell cars and I'm taking $1,000 a month not selling a thing. I'm not producing. That's why the track league brought me on board, to produce. So I have to ask the hard question. I have to ask for money. So I says, Lord, how can I ask churches for money? We're in the middle of a pandemic. People are dying. Here's what the Lord assured me. He says, my children have money. I believe that. So I go into churches and I ask people and I ask churches to step out by faith. Isn't that what Malachi 3:10 is talking about? Prove me now herewith, thus saith the Lord. When's the last time you read in the Bible where the Lord gave you and I as His children a challenge to prove Him? My dad never came up to me and said, son, I'm going to let you prove me that I'm really a good dad. But the Lord says, prove me now herewith. And if you do tithe, then He would what? Open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There's not going to be room enough to receive it. But I also think in America, too many of us are living by sight and not by faith. Someone's thinking right now, Brother Lapis, good luck with me. I don't have a penny. You are the one I'm looking for. Because for you to buy a roll of paper, which is still $200, you are the one who's going to have to really do it by faith. That's a tough one. That's very. I was in a church in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That church bought 17 rolls of paper, and they held the record for a long time as far as what a church would buy. And the 17th roll of paper was bought by a single mom who came up to me. She had tears coming down her cheeks. She said, Brother Lapis, I want to buy a roll of paper, but I got two kids in a Christian school. I work a full-time and a part-time job. She says, I'm absolutely broke. She says, tell me how I can buy a roll of paper. And I had just gotten into this business, and I didn't know. I'm not God. I didn't tell her that. But I said, you know, I don't know. Do you have any ideas? She said, yes. I said, tell me your idea. She said, can I pay $20 a month for a year? I says, great. Sold. That'll work. You know what? She did. She went on the website, and she gave that money. And in the course of a year, she bought a roll of paper, which this used to be, that prints 125,000 tracks. And she reached 125,000 people with the gospel. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6? Lay up treasures where? Heaven. You know, with the government, if you have an IRA, something like that, I think you can put aside $2,000 a year, and you don't get taxed on it until you take it out at mandatory age 72 and a half. And at age 50, because Uncle Sam doesn't want to take care of anybody in their old age, they let you do what's called a catch-up plan, where you can put anywhere. You know, I listen to people when I travel who give all these financial presentations. They're everywhere. And they said it was $5,000, but I heard someone else say you can put up to $30,000. So I don't know who's right. I haven't been interested enough to look it up. But at age 50, you can do a catch-up plan by putting more money in so the government doesn't have to take care of you when you retire. What's your point? I got a catch-up plan for you if you're short on treasures in heaven. Buy a roll of paper. 125,000 1,000 people are reading. When these go to India, there's 1.4 billion people there. There's not enough reading material for them to read. So when they're given a gospel tract, they say it's passed down 8 different times or somebody reads it. And I think more than 8, because those people hold on to those tracts for life. That's probably the only gospel they will ever have in their entire life. And they hold on to those tracts like they're worth more than a $100 bill. 8 times 125,000. Somebody over here got the answer last time. You got the answer again? He's ducking on me. It's a million. A million people from one roll of paper that costs $200. Now, the next shipment's coming in. The paper's going up to $285 a roll. So they went out by faith to buy a truckload, cost them $24,000. But next time, the price is going to go way up. But right now, you can still get a roll of paper for $200. So I challenge, I really don't want to ask this, but I'm going to ask anywhere. I go to churches, and God said, my children have money. So I ask that everybody who can hear my voice tonight would buy a roll of paper. Do you think you could step out by faith and trust God for a couple $100 to buy a roll of paper that if it goes to India, it's going to reach a million people? A million's a kind of a strange number. For every 1,000 tracts that are handed out, how many units of 1,000 are there in a million? Did I confuse everybody? I thought about how can I explain that easier than what I did. But how many 1,000 tracts are in a million? How many units? There's 1,000 thousands. So I think for every 1,000 tracts that are given in India, at least one person is going to be saved. There's such poverty there. They have nothing to look forward to. I think a whole lot more than one. But if just one person per 1,000 got handed out and there's 1,000 units of that, that means 1,000 people will be won to Christ if someone buys a roll of paper for $200. How valuable does Jesus value a soul? It's more than 1.2 quadrillion. Wow, what can he give in exchange for his soul? That's how Christ values a soul. That's how Christ valued your soul and my soul. So coming up with $200, how much is it? The church in Albuquerque held that record. Got to get my notes on this. So I started challenging churches to break that record a year ago May. So there was a church down south. They ended up buying 20 rolls of paper and broke the record. Wow, pretty cool, huh? I think it's real cool. So I went to the next church. I said, church, why don't you beat that record that such and such church did? And another church ended up buying 27 rolls of paper. So I'm thinking, boy, I'm on a roll now. So I kept on asking. I went to a church in Highland, Indiana, suburb of Hammond, which is a suburb of Chicago. And I've known the pastor for a long time. They had a mission conference. There's 3 other missionaries. And I gave my pitch, and I asked that church. It's somewhat of a mid-sized church, though. I mean, and nobody bought anything. They barely even looked at my tracts. I mean, they were nice and everything. Nothing happened. I said, God, what did I do wrong? 2 months ago, this was this past May. 2 months ago, the tract lady called me and said that same church just sent in a check for $6,000 for 30 rolls of paper. Yabba dabba do time, no? If you remember that, Wilma. Well, I had to get that broke. So I was in Lake Milton between Youngstown and Akron, and it used to be a very, very large congregation. Sunday night, I bet they had 150 people, Pastor, which is really a good amount anymore in my travels. And the pastor walked up, and I had my Ohio State tie on. I mean, I'm proud of Ohio State Buckeyes. O-H? Yeah, so are you folks. You all must be saved. He walked up to me, the pastor said. He said, Ohio State, boo. I said, wait a second, I am in Ohio, am I not? He says, yeah. I said, well, who are you for? He says, Roll Tide. He says, I'm a Bama fan. He was in his late 30s, had 7 kids. And so we started going back and forth, you know. I was in my late 60s at the time. He's in his late 30s. And so he's picking on an older preacher, so I just gave it back to him. And then I challenged them to break that record. Do you know what? He came up in the pulpit afterwards. His church bought 40 rolls of paper, Pastor. Isn't that amazing? The 39th roll was bought by a mom who they were taking, they were counting hands, you know, after the end of the service, because he came up there, we're going to break that record. People were up there taking names and checking off to see how many they had. 39th roll of papers by a lady who walked up. She gave me $200 and $20 bills. She had her elementary age kids with her, and she had tears running down her cheeks, too. Tears of joy. And she said, Brother Lapish, here's $200 for a roll of paper. She says it's part of our vacation money that we're going on tomorrow. Now, her kids didn't look too happy about that. When I first started, because someone said, well, you should have told her to keep the money, your family. I'm not doing that. When I first started raising money, I would have done that. But then I thought, I think the Lord impressed me, who am I to tell her not to give what God told her to give because God was ready to open the windows of heaven to her? Who am I to stop the blessing to flow to her? She bought the 39th roll there. The 40th roll was bought by another lady. She walked up. Her husband had passed away several years earlier. She was in her mid-40s. She had four teenagers and all standing around her. She says, I don't have enough money to buy a roll of paper, but that person over there is going to join with me, and we're just going to buy a half a roll together, one roll. That was the 40th roll. She says, here's $100, and she says, that's all the money I have. I didn't want to, but I looked at her teenagers. You know what they were doing? They were smiling ear to ear that their mom would be so spiritual to do just that. I am sure that my Heavenly Father, her Heavenly Father, is going to bless her mightily. 40 rolls of paper. They wrote a check that night for $8,000. Amazing. So I told my wife, Cindy, and she told me back, we're both saying, how much further can this thing go? We're right in the middle of a pandemic. I normally raise anywhere between $15,000 to $20,000 a year. And all of a sudden, all these big monies are coming in. And I went to West Virginia. And I gave the same pitch I'm giving everywhere I'm giving tonight. And I finally said at the end, I said, aren't you Mountaineers of West Virginia just sick and tired of we Buckeyes just winning and winning and winning? I don't know why he said that. Preacher got up afterwards. He says, we're beating that record. 48 rolls of paper in 10 minutes. And that 48 was made 48 rolls when the pastor said, how much more should the church add from the mission budget? And one man gave a large number that brought it up to 48. The pastor swallowed hard, you know, because somebody, you know, sometimes people, members, but you know what? All the men stood up and said, amen! Well, I tell you what, when you have a church full of mission-minded, spiritually-led men, you have got quite a church. 48 rolls of paper, $9,600. Doesn't end there. This is crazy, preacher. We were at the church, New Testament Baptist Church in Ravenna, Ohio. Pastor Bob Burgess is the pastor there, retired from the Sheriff's Department of Portage County. He was in the CSI division, and they brought him in to solve all the crimes that they couldn't solve. He's such a brilliant mind, being able to do all that. He resigned that because he got called to preach, did some Bible training up there at the Institute, took over the New Testament Baptist Church, and they're a supporting church. He said, Brother Lapis, just give us about a one-minute report in the track leak and then preach. And I told him about the 48 rolls of paper. When I got done, he came up. He looked at his congregation. He says, you know what I'm thinking? They all said, yeah. They ended up buying 51 rolls of paper and sent a check in that next Wednesday for $10,200. To the Fellowship Track League. Isn't that amazing? It's not me, because for the 11 years before that, I did everything I could to try to raise money. Like I said, if I can get one roll of paper from the church, I feel successful. All this money's coming in, and I'll just read you off some things here. Crusade Baptist up in Copley sent in $1,250. Lighthouse in Bucyrus did $1,500. New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Canton did $250. Huber Heights Baptist in Dayton did $1,000. Scioto Baptist did $200. I mentioned that one. A missionary Baptist church in Canova, West Virginia, they had to have a business meeting, but when they did, they sent in a $2,500 check. Carrollton Baptist Temple, right down the road, just from these coin banks, raised over $2,000 and sent it in. And here's a church. First Independent Baptist Church of Alum Creek, West Virginia. Boy, try saying that when you're going door to door. You get about five syllables in, the door's going to slam. They had a business meeting. They sent in $2,500. A couple who follows the track league sent in a random check of $300. And I had a relative who said, Tim, we've tithed our income. We've given the missions at our church. And we give money for repairs to the roof, to the floor, to the furnace. We've done all that. But they said, he said, I feel like I still need to give some money to the Lord's work, but I don't know where. Can you tell me where? I said, well, sure. Why don't you buy a roll of paper for the Fellowship Track League? He said, well, how much is a roll of paper? I said, well, $200. And then I said, how many people are reached? He said, well, I'll pray about it. So I forgot about it. I got a call from the Track League about 2 months ago, and they said, did you have a relative named such and such? I said, yeah. They said, well, he just sent him the check. I said, yeah, I told him to buy a roll of paper. They said, a roll of paper? He sent him a check for $5,000 to buy paper. I says, he did? I said, wow. I couldn't wait to hang up and call my relative. So I called him, and I says, listen, you didn't tell me you were going to send in $5,000. He said, well, I told you I was going to give some money. I said, but yeah, but $5,000, why didn't you give me some? I'm the guy traveling. He said, you didn't ask. Last Sunday night, Bible Baptist Church, I don't even know if you folks know this, in Marysville, Ohio, Pastor Jeremy Stout, I had a different message but said the same thing, told him all that. The pastor put up a little piece of pottery, like a vase, and he said, if you want to give towards buying rolls of paper for the track league, why don't you go ahead and do that? So I said, oh, that's a nice thing to do. And so I'm standing in the back, and the vase got filled up, and he asked me to come in the side room and count it with him, and so we did. And do you know how much they had there? $5,300 that his people gave at a drop of a hat. Now, all I can do is ask people to pray about it. But I will say this. Added together, it's always the small gifts that outweigh the large gifts. You say, like what? $1 bills, $5 bills, $10 bills. Those added all together in all the churches I go to are always the most when added up. Just like the widow and her two mites, what an encouragement that is to people who think, oh, all I can give is this little bit. Nothing's little in God's eyes. That's what I do. In this roll of paper, now's the coin bank. I've left over 1,900. Almost every church I go back that has taken these coin banks has them full. I was in a church 2 weeks ago, and I hadn't been there in 3 years. The minute I walked in, they said, here. They had a coin bank full of money. And so we took it and had it counted. There's like $130 in it. And that's almost more than half a roll of paper by the new price standards. So everybody's talented in doing this. I was at a church in Florida. It was about as wide as maybe this section with an aisle down the middle. And they probably had 35 people there on a Wednesday night. They had a lot of teenagers there. And after the pitch, I said, this is my last coin bank. And I just set it in the platform. And I said, whoever wants it, you know, you can have it. Just go after the service and take it. So I went in the back, and I was just looking around. The pastor said, let's pray. So he bowed his head to pray, and I was ready to bow my head, but I just looked, because I thought I saw something moving. So I focused in, and there's a teenage girl on my far right and a teenage boy on my far left. And as the pastor was praying, they were scooting closer and closer to the middle of the aisle there. And they finally got all the way to the inside of the pew. And when the pastor said amen, both of them had a mad dash to the platform to grab this coin bank. How many think the boy won? Am I the only one? How many think the girl won? How many don't care? How about that? Yeah. The boy won. Come on, folks. He's a man, young man. He beat the girl there, but he made a mistake. Instead of coming up on the platform, he stood at the bottom, and when he reached out to grab it, the girl tackled him from behind. I kid you not, I'm not making this up. She tackled him and crawled over him and grabbed his coin bank. She says, it's mine. Now, I don't know if I get this top off, it's really tight. They were running after an empty core with air in it. There wasn't a cell phone in it. There wasn't a gift card to Best Buy. There was absolutely nothing in it. But God touched their hearts to grab a coin bank and fill it up. I didn't do that. I don't have any power to do that. A girl in Indianapolis, a town outside of it, asked me after an 8 a.m. Sunday school preacher, that's awful early, 8 a.m. for Sunday school. She said, can I have a bank? I said, ask your parents. She did. They said, yeah. I said, sure. I got a text from the pastor later that day. She had gone all afternoon in her community, door to door. She completely filled this up with change, with bills, and with checks. Because she wanted missionaries to have track. Folks, 12 years of traveling, I've got so many stories. But I see how the Holy Spirit works in the heart of God's children. And I don't know what the Lord is telling you tonight, but I'd like for everybody to have some part in this ministry. Now, we've got a short video. It's about 6 minutes. And when it's done, I'll let the pastor close out the service any way he wants. But I am just proud to represent the Fellowship Track League and be part of one of the most exciting ministries that I've ever seen in my life. And I invite you to get involved the same.